The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 15th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the night of his arrest, Jesus taught his disciples about the relationship they would have with him. Those who abide in his word and love bear fruit, for apart from him, they can do nothing. The Gospel reading.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Jesus said to his disciples, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Let's begin this sermon time with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, grace to you and peace. You are present with us here in the beauty of this sanctuary, and we welcome you to be that thing that nurtures us and enables us to grow and bear fruit. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in Jesus' name. Amen. So, my friends, when you think of fine wine, your mind and palate might wander to a particular region of France. The French have a long history of vintage winemaking and have provided the names for most of the well-known varieties of wine: Champagne, Bordeaux, Chardonnay, and Burgundy, to name a few. Are all regions that give names to certain types of French wine that, in order to be authentic, must have originated in that particular region. My uncle Paul Stefanik was a world business traveler with a liberal expense account, and thus he became very knowledgeable about wine. And one of the things he taught me about wines was that great wine is always a reflection of a particular vineyard. Great wine is always a reflection of a particular vineyard. If you want to pick a good wine, in other words, you have to know where it comes from, its source. Now, we know that Jesus knew a little bit about wine himself, since we often see him at parties in the Gospels, and if you remember the story, he knew exactly what kind of wine would impress the guests at the wedding feast in Cana of Galilee. So it shouldn't be a big surprise that he uses the metaphor of a vineyard to describe his relationship to the disciples. And this discussion appears in our gospel text from the 15th chapter of John. The best way to tell what kind of product you are getting is to look at the label and see from where in the world it comes. In this case, the source isn't a place, but a person, Jesus himself. And so he begins by saying that he is the true vine. the source of growth and fruit bearing in a vineyard that is tended by the Father. The Creator God, Jesus' Father, is thus the real winemaker, the one who tends the vineyard and assures its quality. Turns out, too, that this vineyard has a long and storied history. And if you read the Old Testament, you know that this metaphor of the vineyard is used any number of times in the Old Testament to describe God's relationship with Israel. In Isaiah chapter 5, for example, God plants and tends a vineyard, but it yields wild grapes, or in other words, inferior fruit, a metaphor for the apostasy of Israel and Judah. The same vineyard imagery is used in Jeremiah, in Ezekiel, and again in Hosea. And in each of these cases, Israel is the vine and the ultimate source of poor fruit. In the Old Testament, fruitfulness was another way of talking about faithfulness. Thus, a lack of good fruit meant that God's people had failed to be the true nourishing vine that would bolster God's reputation in the world as the ultimate fine winemaker. That being the case, it was the winemaker's job then to do some pruning and replacing, which is what the prophets saw the exile of the people of Israel into Babylon being all about. Later, God would replant the vineyard with new stock, and that new vine, the true vine, would be Jesus Christ himself. But while the vine is the source for good fruit, there's also a vital link between the vine and its fruit. The branches are thus the focus of Jesus' teaching with his disciples. And he says to them, I am the vine, you are the branches. Now we have to notice that the disciples of Jesus aren't the fruit or the end product, but rather the conduit for the vine's nourishment. The quality of the fruit thus depends on the vine's connectedness, the branches' connectedness to the vine itself. And so what Jesus is describing is the necessary interrelationship between himself and his disciples, a relationship characterized by their mutuality, their being together, they're talking with one another. They're learning from one another. That relationship also focuses on bearing the best fruit for the whole world. As Jesus talks to his disciples about the importance of their mission moving forward to share the good news of God's love with the world through Jesus. Now, my father was an avid gardener. And one of the things that he had in his garden were some grapevines. Not a lot, but he used them to kind of form a property line border between our home, his garden, and our neighbors. And one of the things that I noticed very early on about its branches is that it's very difficult to tell them apart individually. If you look at a grapevine, a grape arbor, all of the branches twist and curl around one another to the point that you can't tell where one starts and another stops. Jesus' use of branch imagery is thus a way of expressing that it's not the achievement of an individual branch or its status that matters. The quality of branches and fruit depends on the quality of their connectedness to the vine. When it comes to discipleship, each branch, each individual, each one of us here that is a part of First Lutheran Church gives up his or her desire for individual achievement in order to become one of the many encircling branches that makes growth and new life possible. A community that is rooted and nurtured by Christ and points to his reputation and quality, not our own. So there's a couple of things that we as branches need to remember in order to stay effectively and fruitfully connected to Jesus. First, we have to remember that branches are fruit-bearing, not fruit-making. Jesus says in our gospel text, just as the branch cannot bear fruit unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Now you've probably heard those words of Jesus many times, but we also over against that hear the call of our culture of workaholism and achievement and individuality and success that kind of lure disciples of Christ into thinking that we can be as fruitful as a result of our own efforts. And when a branch gets the idea that it can make fruit, make wine on its own, the end result is that it dries up, withers, and is no longer useful. We remain connected to the vine, and that is from where our nourishment flows to share that nourishment and to produce, bear that fruit that then is shared with other people. Second, the fruit that we are to bear, like the grapes of a fine winery, is full of many textures and flavors. We can think of it in terms of grace. As branches connected to and abiding in the source of God's love and grace, we are conduits and not the end product. In our summit meetings and in the initiatives that we have chosen, we have acknowledged the tremendous diversity of the community around us, seen in our partnerships with the table and the diversity certainly of that community, of Room in the Inn and the diversity there, and the many different ways that we reach out through In Spiritus and through our Southeastern Synod to be in partnership with diverse groups of people, not only here in Nashville, but throughout the Southeastern Synod and throughout the ELCA globally. Those partnerships are enriching and enables the fruit that we bear to bring its taste and its joy to so many others. God's grace and love always comes to us on their way to someone else, someone who will be able to taste and see that the Lord is good because we have been faithful branches. I've also in the past used the illustration of the Jordan River and its two bodies of water, one the Sea of Galilee and the other the Dead Sea. As the Jordan River carries its water south, it goes through the Sea of Galilee, and the Sea of Galilee is a rich body of water with fish and birds and children playing along its banks. It is a body of water alive with life. Why? Because the water that it receives from the Jordan River is then passed on and continues south. But then it comes to the Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea is like a dead end. The Dead Sea does not share its water. And so the end result is that it is a stagnant body of water with no life, with no birds, with no fish, with no children and families playing in its banks. The lesson is clear. To be alive, we share what we have first received and send it down to others to enjoy and to take their own new life and their own enjoyment out of those gifts. We must stay connected to the vine, stay connected to that source of life-giving water. And how do we do that? Well, we can start by practicing the kind of spiritual disciplines that cultivate and deepen a relationship with Christ. You have gathered here for worship this morning. You will receive the gifts of God's grace through the Holy Communion, ways that we nurture our faith. We do that in our prayer life. We do that in our life of study. And I know many of you are involved with Pastor Brian and his colloquy on Mondays, where you share the intellect of faith and grow in that kind of wisdom and knowledge one with another. Hopefully in the near future, we'll be able to begin our adult Sunday school classes again before worship. And we are reaching out to our children, as I shared with you earlier, to begin a ministry with them that continues what we had to stop back when this pandemic became so difficult to deal with. We stay connected to the true vine by doing these kinds of things to cultivate our relationship. In the vineyards of Jesus' day, the grapevines grew naturally along the ground. Instead of being propped up on poles and lattices like my father did with his grapevines and like we see them today. And in those days, the vine dresser would come along to lift and to clean the vine, pruning away the excess and dead growth to assure that adequate nourishment and sunlight would reach the grapes as they grew. Today, Jesus uses that same image to describe the way the disciples themselves have been cleansed by the Word. That Word was the teaching and commandment of Jesus, and the disciples' meditation on and obedience to that Word, you see, would help them remain or stay connected to His love, the nourishing flow from the vine that we just talked about a few moments ago. The words of Jesus about the kingdom and the story of his life, death, and resurrection focus us on what's truly important for bearing the fruit of his grace and love to the world. When we are focused on the Word, we are able to cut out all those other offshoots and tangents of temptation and sin that can choke out great growth. When the writer of Hebrews says that Scripture is sharper than any two-edged sword, he might have easily said that Scripture was the ultimate set of pruning shears, trimming us for the life of discipleship that we were meant to live. Such pruning can be painful as God uses it to lop off old habits and cut away the growth of sin that somehow we think is attractive. But it is absolutely necessary if we're going to embrace our purpose as conduits of God's grace. God wants to tend the finest vineyard ever, the one that takes the grand prize. We at First Lutheran Church have the opportunity to be the kind of disciples, the true vine, that embrace our role as branches. Channels for God's grace to the world, especially those who do not know Him yet. May we seek continual and new ways to be that branch as we continue to bear fruit for His glory. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Now please stand as you are able as Pastor Brian leads us in today's confession of faith.